And we're back down here at the Ultralights Air Venture in Flight. I'm J. Mont G, and this is the On the Fly segment. Right now, we are at the Ultralight area with Frank Beagle, the announcer for EAA Ultralights.
The next person I'd like to bring up is third chairman for the flight line, all the flight line operations that happened down here. He's in charge of safety volunteers, the whole nine yards, Mark Skoronski.
Now, this operation is so different from the rest of Oshkosh. Tell us a little bit about the uniqueness from your perspective, flight line operations down here in the Ultralight area.
Yeah, down here we are basically just a temporary airfield. If you come back by Tuesday, this airfield will not exist. We literally strip the whole place down and it becomes just a little piece of grass on the south end. But during AirVenture, we have a NOTAM from the FAA, and they allow us to work under a waiver here to actually fly aircraft off the south end in conjunction with the activities on the main runway. We are not controlled, even from a VFR procedure perspective, on this runway. But they come in just like under any of the other NOTAMs that are out there. They fly into our airport. They can operate from it. They can even operate during the week, which is a little bit different than the main runways where you're basically going out, getting in big taxi lines, that kind of stuff. Most of the aircraft that operate here just come in under VFR rules, can come in and land and do whatever they want for pretty much the whole day and then depart out in the night or even fly with us during our flying sessions if they attend a safety briefing.
So the requirements are they have to go to the safety briefing. Is that every day or just once during the event?
If they're going to participate in our flying sessions, they have to attend a briefing before they can go. And we're pretty adamant about that. We have a fantastic safety record down here. We've never had any significant injuries to a pilot down here due to any accidents. And we've been operating, as Frank said, off the ultralight fields here for decades.
And safely, too, I might add. You guys have one of the safer records down here of AirVenture. Isn't that not true?
Yep, and that's really contrary to popular belief where people will make certain comments about the safety of ultralights and rotorcraft and even powered parachutes, and it's just not true.
So uniqueness is a big part of this. Tell us a little bit about the uniqueness other than what you said now. You said it's uncontrolled, but that's not really true, is it, from a pilot's perspective here?
From a pilot perspective, I mean, we operate under VFR rules, so the pilots are operating under normal consensus-type rules, if you will, courtesy-type rules for separation between aircraft and how to operate on the runway, that type of stuff. We do have safety people on the field that will assist in launching the aircraft, spotting other aircraft that are coming into the field, so we make sure that there aren't any conflicts that way. But grand scheme of things, that pilot is pilot in command of his airplane, and he's going to go fly it as he sees fit.
So you see them in the evening, and well, even in the morning, and they're going around and around on a circuit.
Yep.
And the more people that get in the pattern, does it just auto-grow? Is that how it works? Or do you have checkpoints that everyone has to fly over in the pattern?
We do have a defined pattern that's out here. It basically goes from the south end corner here all the way out to the 4126 interchange. And we do have a defined pattern that we ask the people fly out there. But really, it's more of a open fly session, if you will. We are covered under a NOTAM, so they do have to stay within those rules. And as long as they're doing so, we allow them to continue flying. Now, obviously, if somebody gets a little out of hand or doesn't want to play with the rest of the folks nicely, then we ask them to enjoy AirVenture, but not doing it with our flying.
So basically, it's things you learned in kindergarten apply down here.
Yep.
So tell us a little bit more, Mark, about the different types of ultralights that you're managing at one time on the field. It does kind of look like you're on a barn when you're on a farm when you're down here because you've got all kinds of different animals out there flying around.
Exactly. We'll have aircraft that are out there from single-seat ultralights that are doing anywhere from 28 to 30 miles an hour up to light sports that are doing 80, 90, 100 mile an hour. Obviously, we ask them to tone that down a little bit when they're operating with the slower aircraft. But we'll operate mixed all day long if the weather's nice. And we'll operate some two-place operations for our vendors to display their aircraft and demonstrate them for folks. And then from a ultralight perspective, once those guys have also gone through a briefing, we'll let them get out and fly and enjoy Oshkosh also. That includes the powered parachutes. We actually have some slower ultralights that we actually let out with the powered parachutes, because from a speed perspective, they mix well with them, and there's really no safety issues in allowing them to do that.
So right now the helicopters are flying. Is that because this is typically the windiest part of the day, and they're able to handle the? I notice it's a direct crosswind on the runway right now here at about 1:45. Is that a good reason to have the helicopters flying in the middle of the day?
Exactly. I mean, the lighter aircraft that we operate down here are really pretty wind sensitive from an enjoyment perspective. They can handle the wind, and you can be out in it, but it doesn't get any fun when you're really getting bounced around. I mean, since the helicopters are basically beating the air into submission anyway, they really don't care about the bumps that are happening during the midday, so we let them go fly during that period.
Gotcha. So what does it take to set up this flight line in advance? I'm sure that you have a group of volunteers that works under you, and you guys, do you show up here a week in advance? How do you get that grass looking so nice for all the arrivals?
We actually have a number of work weekends that are coordinated through the local EA chapters here. Microlite Flyers out of Wisconsin here. They're here regularly before convention, doing as much as they can to prep the area. They actually installed a new line shack for us this year, and which has been a great upgrade to the area. But they'll go through, they'll spend probably anywhere from 90 days before the convention starts. They'll come out here, start having work weekends, getting the grounds prepped, doing work in the barn, doing other improvements to the area, getting set up. And then obviously the weekend right before convention starts, basically everybody kind of descends on the place and does all the detail type work that we need done to get ready for convention.
And weather, of course, plays a huge part in the ultralight operation. I mean, if you don't have calm winds and good weather, you don't fly. Do you have activities set up for the folks when it's too windy to fly? Because obviously it's pretty much a bummer for everybody if 6 o'clock rolls around in the evening and wind is blowing and someone would mark his sleep in till exactly. 6 p.m. Frank.
it's kind of a double-edged sword. I mean, we love to come down here and fly also, but it is a vacation for us too. There's very few of us that aren't spending vacation time to be here. So every now and then you do enjoy a day off, even though it's at someone else's expense. But during the down times, we do have different things that specifically from a demonstration standpoint that we try and set up with our vendors here, or even North End vendors. A couple things that we're working on this year is the fellows with the jetpack that demonstrated up in Aeroshell Square. They've asked to come down and do some test runs on our field, really just maintenance type work and that type of thing. But we're working with them to have them here and be able to do what they need to do, and also give us a crowd pleaser, if you will, for people that want us from down here. We also have our different vendors don't all just make aircraft. I mean, they like, for example, Rand's Aircraft has a very large line of recumbent bikes.
And
they're a very large manufacturer that
so
way.
So do you guys get the contest going out there on the runway when it's a little too windy? The bike races start?
Yeah. It's been known to happen. Some of our trike pilots, if you're familiar with the trike, they look like a paraglider or a hang glider with a cart and a motor underneath it. We have been known to have kart races here without the wings on them. Sometimes that gets a little out of hand, but we try and make it interesting for everyone.
No one's been hurt.
That's exactly. Right. No one's been hurt. That's and so also, I suppose, the forums here, and there's one going on right behind us. You guys call them seminars.
Yep.
They go throughout the whole day, I assume.
Exactly. And we do have a lot of vendors down here also and display aircraft. And there's some pretty unique things that will show up on this field. Because grand scheme of things, being a legal 103 ultralight, it's a very broad rule. So there's a lot of different innovation that you can do to fit into that. We have a gentleman here that has a swing stow wing option. Now you literally take four bolts out of the main section of the wing. It will pivot 90 degrees. You don't disassemble the wing whatsoever and put it into a stow position. So it's a different spin, if you will, no pun intended, on the concept of a folding wing.
Right.
He doesn't fold the wing because, according to him, he says, you know, when you design things that fold, they sometimes fold when you don't want them to. And his idea was just keep the wing completely intact and pivot at 90 degrees, and then you don't have to worry about it.
Mark, you conduct these pilot briefings, is that right?
I do, and my assistant, Doug Greenfield, does also.
tell us a little bit. We've got a couple more minutes in your segment here. Tell us just a little bit about what the briefing entails.
Sure. And it's basically standard safety stuff that any pilot would go through as far as how we operate on the field with a flagger, what paddles mean that we use, green for go, red for stop, real common sense type things. But until you get everybody in a room and you can say, this is what we're going to do, and get everybody on the same page, everybody hears or thinks different things. Probably the biggest thing that we cover in the safety briefings is how we operate in our pattern, the things that we have to do to stay inside of our waiver so that we don't get the tower upset with us and run into problems from that standpoint. Because we are operating in conjunction with the GA aircraft that are coming in on the Fisk approach, operating on 3-6 landings here, that type of thing. And the control tower is trying to actively talk to those people and bring them in, where our aircraft, which are starting to look very similar to the GA aircraft now, because with Sport Pilot there, they look just like another 2-seat 150 or Piper Cub coming down the runway. They're trying to literally yell at the aircraft to do what they want it to do, and they're in our pattern. So if they're not keeping their separations correct and flying the right pattern, it gets very confusing for the tower. So that's really the big purpose of our briefing, is to keep them in line, have them understand what we're doing and how we're doing it, and keep everybody safe.
We'll take a break, go back to the studios, and we'll be back down here live in the ultralight area for AirVenture In-Flight on the Fly. We'll be right back.